Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday evening, November 5th, 2016 at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. So welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And I want to just give you a little description for those of you who are joining us for the first time. We're going to talk about this very ancient spiritual teaching that goes back to the beginning of time called ACOTA. And it is concerned with souls who are interested in attaining spiritual mastery. And there's a lot more that's involved in it besides that. But with us this evening is Sri Kadavji. And Sri Kadavji is the leader of the teaching. He's the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. And Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And Sri Kadavji, if you were to describe ACOTA in just a very brief sentence or two for the people who are here for the first time to try to get an understanding of the purpose of this teaching, what would you say?
Well, since I have 30 minutes, it can't be too brief necessarily, right?
No, I said if you were, excuse me, I apologize, but if you were to describe it in a sentence or two right at the beginning for people, that's...
Well, actually, I could do it in one sentence. It's called The Ancient Science of Sahaji. Of course, that's probably cheating, since that's our little short definition that we use. So, But having said that, with all amusement aside, it is somewhat amusing in terms of we consider soul, the essence of man, a happy entity. That means that the light and sound current that people hear within them, that perhaps they've been hearing since they were a child but really didn't know what it is the important part that goes back to that place that you were saying about spiritual liberation. So the essence of man is seeking to be liberated in soul, and that's what ACOTA is really about in the long and the short of it, is to gain that liberation point. And people seek that. All people do. But then you were saying a minute ago about the readiness state. The individual's attention has to be such they can accept the path, because albeit the teaching is very simple, because when we talk about the sound current, when people hear that sound current within them, usually there's a great sense of ecstasy and a great feeling and great joy, as I said before, soul being really a happy entity, meaning that man is really intrinsically good and not evil. Like a lot of philosophers would say, well, man may be evil because of all the apparent evil that's around us, but it is an apparency. But what we simplify is that for that ready soul that can hear what we talk about, hear what we speak about tonight, their attention level will be at a point where they can accept the path and learn to travel in Sahaji. When we talk about the ancient science of Sahaji, we mean the movement of that essence, that sound current, that moves through the lower world dimensions into the soul plane. And that's very important, again, for gaining this freedom, the true freedom on the inner planes, and not necessarily any sort of political freedom, because that's really not true. Because when we're dealing with the politics, you can't really have real freedom there, because we know that that's just a platitudes and things of that nature. But when we talk about true freedom, we're talking about in spirit that you can have now. It's not necessarily a live now and die later spiritual freedom. It's a spiritual freedom in the present, in the here and now. They call it the Jiva Mukti or the Jnani Jayatri in higher Sanskrit. The words that we use that appear foreign are really high vibrational terms. They give you a higher feeling, if you will, because people do seek that too. They seek to be in balance in their life, to gain equilibrium, and get to a point where they the feeling good type thing is very important to people. That's why they have holidays and celebrations, because people seek that point of celebration to be like the seasons that come up now towards the end of the year, where you had the Christmas time and Thanksgiving previous to that, where people get together in family and want to feel like there's community and things of that nature, all the good things in life. And having said that, the true quality is within each individual in the light and sound of spirit that we call the Sarosha, Sarosha. It's this sound and light within us that, again, we experience the sound and we actually see it as light. So it's the twin aspects of one word we call the Sarosha, which is the true spirit within us. And you'll see that the word spirit really is a derivation of the word spiral. It means to spin. And for those who have seen our website, akata.com, on our introductory book, and at the top of the website, we also have it. If you show the logo, the Sarosha, which is a stylized spelling of the word Sarosha, and that is on the keystone of the spiritual temples within on each dimension. And having said that, we talk about there are four lower planes in the regions to be negotiated to gain the fifth dimension, which is, as we've been talking about, is the plane of the spiritual liberation. So we need to negotiate the four lower worlds, which are the physical, astral, causal, mental planes. Those four planes need to be negotiated through to gain the fifth plane, and that plane of freedom, the plane of spiritual liberation. And that means that one has to learn how to get through them. So what we do is we teach a practice called contemplation that Leslie will take us through in a little bit. But before we get to that practice, it's a daily 30-minute exercise that's highly recommended. But there's no mandate in anything in ACT. So we don't charge money for membership. We don't charge for books or seminars. So we're not really pitchmen or salesmen here, because a lot of people, they go online and are out there in advertising worlds are selling something, but we're not selling anything. We're attempting to present to the ready soul the opportunity to gain spiritual liberation. Well, for instance, we've gained those experiences, and they come in the three major goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. And they have planes that are equivalent to it. You have the fifth, eighth, and tenth plane, respectively, of those three major goals that we're talking about here. So those goals are very significant, because when one achieves the spiritual liberation on the fifth plane, they will have the experience of connecting with the self, the true self, in the identity. Like, to identify it properly, it's not a lot of talk. It's actually an experience that one has that I gained when I was 21 years old many years ago. I've been on the path for quite a while. And because of that, one gains this identity. There's an equilibrium and a balance, an equilibrium and a balance that comes to one that they hadn't had previously, perhaps in this lifetime or previous lifetimes. We also talk, obviously, about karma and reincarnation, but that becomes a factor of losing control over a long period of time and having to come back to the physical plane to be forced back into the lower planes by what is known as the demon, the Kalmarangian. A lot of people don't like us talking about negativity, but we're really not that naive to the whole thing, because there is the lower planes, as I said, of all the four lower planes you're talking about, have negativity within them. So we're not naive to that, but for the people that have the ability and are the ready soul, what we say is not a riddle. To all the other people, they'll condemn no matter what we talk about, because the perspective is that there is a polarity. There is a negativity in the lower planes that's controlled by the entity called the Calamarangian. So when people would get that perspective and understand that we're not focusing on negativity always, that we're just explaining that perspective that it does exist, but you can rise above it, so to speak. And therefore, when people complain about what we do on Abby, well, again, they're going to complain about anything because they're not ready to hear the truth. And the truth be known that we do talk about getting above the negativity in the pure positive worlds. From the fifth plane on up, there is no negativity. So that's what people are wanting to get to, but they believe that there's no negativity in the physical plane. I think we're being a little ridiculous, I would say. Wouldn't you say that, Leslie? Now, if you would, and when you also agree to that, maybe you can take us also to a spiritual contemplation that you do so well each week. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. So one thing I did want to say in support of that is because when spirit flows from the Godhead and the high, and what's called the higher planes is pure positive spirit, but then it breaks off in what's called the lower worlds below the soul plane into positive and negative. And so the further that you go, the further that you go away from the soul plane, the more negativity is mixed in with the positive current. And so that's why on the physical plane, which is the lowest vibrationally of all the planes, we have so much negativity here. But there is positivity here, enough so that people can get on the path and find their way back to the Godhead. So with that, the spiritual exercise, this Sri Goddess you mentioned, is an exercise that we do 30 minutes a day, every day. And what it does for us is balance us out, uses us as a channel for spirit to flow through to enable greater spiritual unfoldment and for us to gain our goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. Spiritual mastery is the ultimate goal. So when we do that, as I said, we do it for 30 minutes. We are sitting comfortably in a quiet place and putting our attention, close our eyes, put our attention on the crown chakra, which is the spot that we call the soft spot on the head when you're a baby, where soul comes into the body. And that's the highest of the chakras. And so we use that to put our attention. And then we're going to close our eyes. And for those people who are on the path that are initiated, they'll have their own spiritual mantra. But HU is a universal mantra, and it means God. And because of the high vibration of HU, it really does completely disperse any kind of negativity that's happening. So that's within and outside of you. So it can be used within yourself or outside, or saying it out loud as you wish. So it's very, very powerful. And I just want to mention that. So what I'm going to do is when you're doing this for 30 minutes, you might have different experiences. You might have a very vivid out-of-body experience where you travel to one of the inner temples of golden wisdom and study in a satsang. You might have any variety of out-of-body experiences, but you always have protection because using the hue, it's much higher than any other word that you might be chanting. So I want to mention that, and then what I'm going to do is take you through a very brief example of what it is to chant the hue so you can feel those vibrations on your own. Now, you can follow along or you can just listen as you wish, but if you're following along, close your eyes, sit comfortably, take a deep breath or two to relax, and put your attention on the crown chakra on top of your head, and then it sounds like this. Hey. Baraka Bashat, which means may the blessing this be. And so hopefully for those of you who followed along, you felt the shift in vibration by doing that and feeling how calming and centering that it is. And that's why it's so important to do that on a daily basis. We really don't have requirements other than we ask that you do that. It's highly recommended. And as Srikant, as you said earlier, it's not a mandate, but if you're truly interested in your spiritual unfoldment, then you will do that on a daily basis. And certainly those people who do it understand the joy and peacefulness that comes out of it and actually don't want to miss it. So right. Like Srikant, I've been on this path for many, many years and doing this on a daily basis, and it builds up your spiritual strength quite a bit by doing it. Srikadavji, I'm sorry, you were going to say something?
No, it's quite all right. Thank you for taking us through the contemplation. It's an important practice that we recommend but don't mandate. There's no mandate. The only taboo on the path is definitely no marijuana and no illegal drugs. And the reason why we separate those two, because it looks like they'll be legalizing marijuana soon, like they have in history. But marijuana was condemned in ancient times, millions of years ago, as a taboo for the sake of taboo. Because the masters would come out and say, no, you can't do something without question. See what I mean? When I say don't do something, then you don't do it. You don't question it. So marijuana was set up by the ancient order of the Viragi Srosha masters as a taboo. So it's been a taboo for a long time, not just in this particular realm, so to speak, but forever. And therefore, if you do it, then you'll be asked to resign. And we go through this sometimes with people. But it shouldn't be an issue because it's not important. And even though there's arguments for it, it's not a matter of it. It's an approbation sanctioned by me as a living Srosha master who represents the longest unbroken line of spiritual masters in history. So just don't do it. Otherwise, you're not on this path. It's very simple. So that's the only no-no, as they say colloquially, or the taboo on the path. The rest of it is tie up your camel, do as you will. You join ACATA, and that's that old phrase of you become responsible, and now you can practice the state of freedom, in the state of Dharma, as we call it. And once one steps onto the path, their karma ceases immediately. They do not create any more karma. That's why membership is so very important, because it ends the karma cycle. And then now what do you practice? Well, now you're practicing Dharma, Dharma. Maybe some people have heard of it before. In their Eastern philosophy, they call it the righteous life, in terms of being goodly and all that type of thing. But since they're all derivative now, they don't really have the answers to life like ACATA does. So they're derivative in terms of they don't really know what Dharma means anymore. So Dharma really means the karmaless life, where there's no repercussions to your activity. Prior to that time, there's repercussive good and evil. It comes back to one by their motion and their practice and their thinking and all the activity they do in the lower realms. But see, once you get above the fourth plane and into the soul plane, then there is no repercussive activity. It's all a matter of spirituality. See, people don't understand that, and they're not necessarily supposed to understand. Pose, to be poser or suppose. Suppose was something that I think they used to sell years ago, was a stocking, suppose. I never really thought of the term, though. Suppose. I suppose I will wear a suppose, right? Anyway, sorry about the jokes there. I'm a comedian out of work, basically, but... But anyway, so we do have a lot of fun on this path. People, we don't have SD, we don't have SD, Sierra Delta, which means serious disease. So we don't have that on the path, everyone. So you can get some joy, maybe for the first time in your life. And if you're not, if you don't have a sense of humor, you probably will develop one or drop the path. It seems like you develop a sense of humor because you get to the sense of joy in the state of contemplation. When you practice that daily, like Leslie said, you get strength And along with that comes the stamina of that strength. And you gain the touching of your own inner power, if you will. And that inner power is great joy. So if you're trying to find joy, again, and gaining balance, you'll get it on the path of ecstasy, because people are really, really great people that are on this path. And we have a lot of fun. That was that we had a get together years ago, and one of the fellows came behind us and said, "You're all extremely silly people." I said, "ESP, that's the sixth sense, right? The sixth sense was ESP." So we do have a lot of fun, and it's a very nice thing because of that. You don't have to go to a comedy club. You can just go to Akita Satsang and have some fun. And it's important. It really is, because people get all serious about things. I was watching that documentary on Yogananda, and I don't have anything against religions and what have you, but I saw the documentary, and at the end of it, I thought, oh, it's very serene. Everybody's seemingly fine and what have you. But one thing I noticed, is no one laughed, and they were all very serious about what they were doing. And, you know, no one got upset. That's great. But I'm just saying, we're human beings, and we have the five passions. We're anger, lust, greed, attachment, and vanity. But it's the term passion means an extreme. So the thing that I noticed is people weren't having any fun, and that's okay. If you all want to be serious, great. But, you know, I'm not a part of that. I'm a part of joy and part of giving in joy on a constant basis. And I think people are more uplifted when they're happy than when they're sad. I mean, that would be obvious to me, wouldn't it? But it's still a matter of the attention level, as you know, Leslie, because it's a matter of people just don't get it because they think that something's complex or what have you in terms of seeking God, and God is something difficult to achieve or what have you. When in reality, all you have to do is shut your eyes and you're there in it, if you will. Not regression therapy yet, though. Did you get it type thing? So this must be the comedy show for Akita this week, you know. We do apologize. Well, we missed the last couple of weeks, so we do apologize for that. But go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would like to mention while I have an opportunity that Sri Kadavshi has been giving a series of talks on the attainment of spiritual mastery at the Philadelphia Central Library in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And not this coming Tuesday, but Tuesday the 15th is the last of the series that's happening this year. So it's a wonderful opportunity to meet Sri Kadavshi if you'd like to do that. And I want to mention that it is at 6:30 Tuesday night, November 15th, at the Philadelphia Central Library, room 108. As Sri Kadavshi said, we do not charge for anything, so the talk is free. It will last approximately an hour and a half. And we invite everyone who's interested in learning more about the spiritual teaching, meeting some of the other members who are on the path, as well as getting the wonderful opportunity of meeting Sri Kadavshi personally. We invite you all to attend this talk. So I did want to mention that. And as well, I know Sri Kadavshi mentioned the website earlier, akita.com. That's a great place to download some of the books that are on there for free. An introduction to Akita is on there. It's a wonderful place to start. And it is chock full of information and wisdom. And it is by Sri Kadavshi. So I'd like to invite you to go to the website as well. There are some audios. There's a lot of information on there that you're welcome to take advantage of. As well, you can listen to any of these Blog Talk radio shows. There must be hundreds of them. We've been doing them for many years now. We invite you to go ahead and listen to those as well. Sri Kadavshi, we've got about 5 minutes left, so I'll turn this back over to you.
Yes.
In case there's another point that you wanted to make.
I did. I wanted to emphasize that we had talked about the light and sound, the experience of the sound current, but in terms of the physical experience, it sounds like a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear that one can hear inwardly. And the proof that it's not just physiological, one can go out of the body or in the dream state and still tune in to that sound current and then realize that it's really one's essence as soul. It sounds sort of like this may not be the greatest example, but sort of like, like a real high pitch, like electrical sound current. Sometimes it has various sounds, and you'll see if when you read the intro book in the back, there's a graphic illustration of the different sounds on the planes. So it'll vary quite a bit because we know when we try to analyze sounds, when you really hear it, that's the true experience of it. So I wanted to emphasize that sound current that one hears and maybe they've heard it before, but no one's ever talked to you about what it is. That's the eternal soul of each individual that one remains with, and you don't merge into a great void or something of that nature. You retain your individuality for eternity, in our opinion, in our viewpoint, that one retains their individuality and experiences God, because you don't merge into God. But that's why we use the word akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, and then God is really a quality of it, of the glimpse of the divine or experience of it, really. It's not even a definition, G-O-D. It's really an experience of what we call the glimpse of the divine, G-O-D. It's an acronym for that experience. You can't go anywhere else except in ACTU to get the information we talk about. That's why the interesting irony is there's great enlightenment on this path, but only 1 in 100 can get it. The other 99 will throw lots of produce at us, but I always say if you're going to throw produce at us or tomatoes, make sure they're fresh so we can make a nice salad out of it. Are you there? Oh, okay.
Yes, I am. I was laughing.
That poor joke.
No, you left
the stage.
I was laughing.
I see. But anyway, then that's the nature of the great paradoxes of what we deal with, is that for the ready soul, the grand enlightenment of the experience of God realization takes place, and people have it all the time, but they're just not recognizing it. Like we say, when you close your eyes, you're really in sahaja. Your soul is in a state of spinning, but we learn how to negotiate it. You see, even in the physical plane, it's spinning. They prove that in science many times over, that we only see it in non-motion because of conditioning, the practice of seeing it apparently not in motion. But it does spin on a constant basis, and we're spinning with it. And that means that what we learn in ACTU is to spin above into the higher planes. So it's an interesting experience. That's why we recommend the contemplation, because when you do close your eyes, you're actually attempting to spin into the fifth dimension. So we do things new each week, don't we, Leslie? Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's the wonderful part of it. And the wonderful part about being on the teaching is that those who've been on the teaching know it allows your individuality to come forth, so that it's a constant unfoldment experience. And even after we've reached the final goal of spiritual mastery, we're continuing to spiritually unfold. So it's really a tremendous journey. Let me say that. I know that word journey gets overused a lot, but it's a tremendous spiritual journey that we have, and we have this opportunity to gain spiritual mastery, and I don't know who else is doing that besides us. I don't believe there actually is anyone, but it's for the individual to decide for themselves, and we hope you'll take the opportunity to look at some of the information, try the spiritual exercise, and find out for yourself if this is the right step, the right path for you. And I do thank everyone for being with us this evening. It's our greatest pleasure to be able to offer this information. And my thanks, Sri Kadavji, for giving us his great wisdom, as he always does. And with that, I'm going to let Sri Kadavji close for the evening. And thank you all again, Sri Kadavji.
The Master raises his right hand, palm face out, and says to the people, I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka B'Shah.